Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Today, we're talking about the reality, the truth of the matter, that you can trust God to write your story. And I want to tell you this. Maybe you have, I don't know if I've ever shared this on the air before. But, you know, I have three sons, you know that, right? Well, our middle son, when he was 15 months old, had a respiratory illness. He was hospitalized, and they didn't think at one point that he was going to make it. They said his heart would probably not last 24 hours, and he got through that. Well, I found out I was pregnant shortly thereafter with number three, our third son. I was on bed rest for 6 months with a high-risk pregnancy. One day, I got up because doctors said I could get up. I met some girlfriends from college. I walked very carefully. We went for a walk, had lunch, was back down in bed with contractions. 2 weeks from that outing, my face started to go numb. My vision started to blur. Long story short, you jump ahead. I deliver this little boy, having all these neurological symptoms, not sure what's going on in my body. But I thought, okay, I've got this little boy who almost lost his life because of a respiratory illness. RSV is an epidemic, and now I've got a four-week-old. Well, jump ahead again a few weeks. Jordan, my baby at 4 weeks old, ends up in the hospital with a respiratory virus. I was exhausted. There was something going on in my body that I didn't know what it was at the time. So fear, exhaustion, insomnia, caring for little ones was just about to swallow me whole. There I sat at the hospital bed, and the night before, I begged God, heal my little baby. I can't take much more. I don't know what's going on with my health. I've already had one in the hospital 10 months ago. Please don't let me have to take this little one to the hospital. And there I am at his bedside in the hospital, exhausted. And I wondered, did God lose my address? Did he forget about me? In a moment, I felt this cup of joy just pour over me. I can't explain it. I just had the presence of God and a sense of joy. So I wrote in my journal, I'm so tired, but this is supernatural. I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something here. Jump ahead a year later. I found out a year later that I was bit by the deer tick that one day up off of bed rest, got Lyme disease. The nurse is out at my house helping me with IV therapy, filling my fridge with IV bags. In comes little Jordan, a year old, runs into the living room, and she says, what is he doing alive? I said, what do you mean? And she said, I've taken care of two patients just like you who were bit about 6 months along, just like you, didn't know it, went a year undiagnosed, like you. Both babies went blind and died. Within a few months, she said, why is he alive? He's a year old. Was he sick? And I said, actually, yeah, he was sick at 4 weeks old. She said, what did they use on his IV? And I told her. She said, that saved his life. So in that moment when I was having the cup of joy poured over me, going, God, you're doing something, he was saving Jordan's life. Before I knew what was wrong with me, God was healing him of Lyme disease. You know, God said no to my small prayer, so he could say yes to the bigger story he was writing. Well, my guests today said this. They said, God is the master storyteller. He's writing your story, and it's part of his bigger, grander, eternal story. But we're still in the middle. We haven't gotten to the happy ending yet, and it can be hard to trust him in the thick of our struggles. Well, my guests today, Robert and Nancy Wolgamuth, join me to talk about beautiful book. We've got four copies to give away. It's titled this, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, Embracing the Mysteries of Providence. Robert and Nancy have been Mr. and Mrs. since 2015. Some of the story in their courtship and marriage is told in this book. And even though they've each written 20 or more books on their own, this is their first book together. Robert's a gifted storyteller. Nancy loves to unpack biblical truth in an understandable way. Their hearts and voices have blended together in crafting this beautiful book. And this is the one time I'll have you speak at the same time. Robert and Nancy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Susie.
Thank you,
great
Susie.
Great to be with you again.
Love that story.
No kidding.
That's
incredible.
Such a great illustration of the message of this book.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, God is always doing something so much bigger, and I feel like you both paint that picture and you give tangible examples in the book, so I can't wait to unpack the content. You know this. You've been on the show, both of you. I love to start out by talking scripture. We love the Word of God, as you do as well. Nancy, let's start with you. Is there a verse you've been hanging around these days you can share with us?
Well, in fact, there is. I've been living in the book of Daniel and seeing this repeated theme that relates, that is the message of this book as well, and that is two words, heaven rules. Heaven rules. And you see it over and over again because you have this big war, cosmic battles between, you know, the kings of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, all these great kingdoms of the earth. And they think they're so powerful and they think they're controlling their kingdoms and people's lives. But then God shows up and his kingdom overrules theirs. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It says, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. And God keeps trying to show these kings and people like Daniel and those faithful three Hebrew young men, look, they think they're so powerful, but in fact, heaven rules. Mm. And at the end of the day, that's where we put our trust.
Well, Nancy, I know you believe this as well. This is why we need to be in the Word. We need to remember that heaven rules. That's fantastic. Yeah. Robert, how about you?
Well, I have the joy every morning, Susie, of spending time in the Word. And I got into this habit actually when Nancy and I were dating. And I look into the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. And I'll send Nancy, by way of text, something that jumps out of the Word that I want her to hear me say, hear me tell her. So this morning, and actually this was a really late morning because I got in really late from a business trip last night. So it's actually the timestamp is 6:29. So that's this morning. This is from Psalm 62. And I love this. I love the early morning because I'm alone with the Lord. There's just something about the quiet that inspires me, like I can't even describe. So this is from Psalm 62, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. And then there's the word again, he alone. So it's for God alone my soul. And then he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. That actually would fit with your story, wouldn't it? That regardless of what happens, we will not be greatly shaken because he alone is our rock and our salvation.
Yeah. So great. I'm with you on that, too, in the mornings, Robert, just giving God the first fruits and sitting with God before you're totally impacted by the noise on social media and the noise of the day. How beautiful. Well, I know friends know your story, but still, you never know. We have friends who stumble on the dial who really have no faith to speak of at all, but just are intrigued. So for their sake, I'm wondering if both of you just give a little bit of your backstory. Nancy, you know, you were really content before you, I mean, you knew Robert for a while, but you were very content as a single woman. So give us a little context, if you would.
Yeah, we knew each other professionally, but I had never married and loved serving the Lord in ministry. And Nancy Lee DeMoss was my name back then. And Robert, you kind of tell this in a nutshell pretty often, so why don't you pick it up there?
Okay. Yes, I actually am a literary representative. I'm an agent. I represent authors. I connect authors with publishers. And back in 2003, our buddy Bob Lapine and also Henry Blackaby, within a couple of weeks of each other, said to me, have you met Nancy Lee DeMoss? And I said, no, I've heard her name, but I've never met her. And both of them encouraged me to visit with Nancy and sign her as a client. So I did. That's really compressing months into just seconds. But so I represented Nancy in 2003, 2004, 2005. Again, helping connect her with her publisher. And because Nancy's primarily committed to a specific publisher, or one publisher, she decided, along with her team, that they could pick up the ball, the contract work and so forth, and run with it without me. So when Nancy introduced me at, I guess it was Revive 2015, she introduced me this way. She said, I may be the only author who hired, fired, and then married her agent.
Well, to make it make sense here, you were married for almost 45 years.
That part, oh yes.
I knew you and your wife, Bobby, and the Lord in 2014 took Bobby home to heaven after a 2.5-year struggle with ovarian cancer. And I was among others who were praying and encouraging them during that time. And so after Bobby went to heaven, Robert came back into my life, and the Lord blessed us with a sweet friendship, and this never married 57-year-old, and this married for almost 45 years man who was 67 at the time, the Lord brought us together. And so we're close to celebrating our fourth anniversary, and
wow,
just so thrilled for how God has written our story. This book is not just about our story, but it's, we've seen God's providence. So you have the loss of a wife, but also God bringing me into a new season, that something neither of us would ever have scripted.
One of the things that, that Nancy didn't mention was that 2 months before Bobby stepped into heaven, she said to two friends, you know, I want Robert to remarry when I go to heaven. And they said, yes, we've heard you say that many times. But she said, there's something else. I want him to marry Nancy Lee DeMoss. But she never told me that.
Wow.
In fact, I choke up just thinking about that every time. So a couple months after Nancy and I were dating, those two friends reached out to me and said, we think you ought to know something. This is exactly what Bobby wanted you to do. And she told us so before she died. So this, we, you know, Susie, we've told this story so many times over the last 46 months. And we've told clerks in grocery stores. We've told Uber drivers. We've told shuttle bus drivers at the airport. And we've said, you know, this is about trusting God to write your story. And so we've said the title of this book long before it was a book. You can trust God to write your story, because it's true.
Beautiful. Someone needed to hear that today. You know, I've got a friend too. She's a pastor's wife, and her husband, when she was young, died suddenly on the basketball court, you know, many, many miles away. A pastor whose wife was killed in a car accident. In due time, God introduced them, and they're serving in an amazing ministry. And I don't understand, you know, the whole idea of why God will intervene and heal one but not another. But what I do know from people I've talked to who've lost loved ones who've said, I now see as I'm on the other side, I could never become who I was meant to be if not for walking through the things God led me to walk through.
We talk about the difference between the windshield and the rearview mirror. So we sit in the car looking through the windshield, and we don't know for sure what's coming. In fact, we are driving south from northern Michigan a couple months ago, and like 65 bugs hit us instantly. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it made a noise. It was dramatic, right? Well, you don't see that kind of stuff coming. But then you look in your rearview mirror, and you see where you've been. And that's God's providence. That's right. That's watching him do what he does. But as you said, in the rearview mirror, where you can say, you know what? In the moment, I had no idea. Now I understand.
And the stories we tell, it's important to remember, they don't all have happy endings.
That's right.
Yet. It
yet.
Doesn't always end with getting what you think you wanted or needed. But the point is that in the end, God will right all these wrongs. He will. The story will have a happy ending. And that's where the trust part comes in.
That's right.
And that's a very important point, Nancy, because we look to this life to have everything tie up in a nice bow as if this life is all there is. But eternity is long. Life on earth is short. Eternity is long. And we need to pause here. When we come back, I want you both to unpack your subtitle. Talking to Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, excuse me, and Robert Wolgemuth, they've written a beautiful book. The cover is just stellar. You can trust God to write your story. Subtitle is Embracing the Mysteries of Providence. I want you both to talk about providence on the other side. We've got four copies of this beautiful hardcover book. Well done, Moody. I'm telling you, you did a great job. You can text to get in on the drawing or email. Text is 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. If you've got questions for Robert and Nancy, we welcome those. I'll try to weave those in as well. More with Nancy and Robert in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to our friends Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth and her dear husband Robert Wolgemuth. They've written this beautiful book together. You can trust God to write your story, Embracing the Mysteries of Providence. Many, if not all of us, are in some ways in a time in between where you've got a longing in your heart and a dream yet to be fulfilled. God is with you in that middle place. And we've got four copies of this beautiful book. I'd love to get one into your hands. You can text or email to get in on the drawing. Text 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Nancy, we'll start with you. Talk about what you've learned about the providence of God. What does it mean, and what does it mean to you?
Well, let me just say, it is a sweet word, and it's unfortunately kind of an old-fashioned word. You don't hear it used much anymore, although in the literature of the 1800s and 1900s, it was used much more frequently. I think we need to go back to this word. For the Christian, there is no more precious comfort and encouragement. Think about providence, provide. Pro means before, video, to see. God sees before, we can see. He knows what's going to happen. He goes ahead of us and designs and orchestrates all the events of this world. And not only does he know what's going to happen, but he actually makes provision for what we'll need before we even get there. So we fear and we're anxious. And why do we do that? Because we're afraid of what's going to happen that we don't know. But the trust comes in when we say, Lord, you do know. You've been there. You've seen. This is not taking you by surprise. And there is a story you're writing and an ending you're bringing about that is not just about me and my story, but it's about you and your bigger, grander, greater story. So I trust that when I get to this place, if this hard thing or this bad thing or this loss or this unfulfilled longing comes as they do into all of our lives, I trust that you've already been there. And you have made provision for whatever I need in those moments.
Before we hear from Robert, I got to say, Carissa, she listens from Colorado. She deals with chronic illness. She's a faithful listener. She said, I'm tearing up as I listen. I was a daily listener of Nancy's show, Revive Our Hearts, during some of the most painful years of my life. And just a few years ago, God brought Susie's show into my life. Touches my heart as well. Great to hear you both together on the air at this point in my journey. Well, Carissa, thank you. Robert, I'm trying to imagine you facing the death of your wife after 40-something years of marriage. I mean, you look back now and look at the faithfulness of God. But then, I know people are where you were at that point where you're thinking, I don't get this plan. Bring us to that point and how God met you there.
Well, you know, you never think this is going to happen to you. Right. I'll never forget the first visit to the oncology floor at a local hospital. One of my daughters was with me. We walked into this room, stepped off the elevator, and the room is filled with bald women. And I'm standing next to my wife, who's got this amazing blonde hair. It's kind of a dishwater blonde. Is that what it's called, dishwater blonde? I think that's right. Hair, thick hair, and... You know, that's sort of a symbol, isn't it? You see a person with hair loss, and you're thinking, I know what that's about. And so it's like this fraternity that we were getting ready to introduce Bobby to. And we were going to be a part of it, too. We were the loved ones of this person going through this. So it's surreal. You think, this isn't going to happen to me, and now it does happen to me. And so you take it a step at a time, and the Lord puts people in your way that bless you, that encourage you, that give you the chance to encourage others. And that was Bobby's way. She would sit down with somebody in the waiting room and she'd say, well, tell me your story. And so she made it about them. So anyway, we experienced this. It was 30 months. And they name waiting rooms well, don't they?
Yeah.
You spend days, it feels like, in these rooms. And, you know, it's a time when you reflect on God's goodness to you. And the uncertainty of the future. It is by faith that we walk, not by sight. And so we take each of these days and the reports that come out of those days, those treatments, the surgeries, the infusions, all of that stuff, and you say, you know, I don't like this. And I think the scripture, and you read the Psalms, and you read it honestly, and you realize that David cries out. He's not saying, well, whatever the Lord wants is fine with me. And so you cry out because the Lord invites us to do that. But you do your best. And honestly, Bobby led the way on all of this. She was not discouraged. She did not complain. And there were times through clinical trials when she was going through horrendous stuff. I was sitting there at the edge of the bed watching all this, and she smiled almost 24/7.
So much of that, honey, don't you think, was how grounded she was Word of God.
Absolutely.
And the character of God. This was what had prepared her for the unexpected.
Isn't that what this is? When you and I are going through a difficult time, the way we handle it, it has a lot to do with how we prepared.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
You know, you make decisions before. Somebody says you pack your lunch before you get hungry. You do this beforehand. You get in shape. You get in good condition before the game begins. And that's a big part of this.
You know, I'm looking at my clock. I got about 3 minutes to our hard break at the bottom. So this is one question I'd love for you to continue on to the after side of the break. But, you know, you think about the providence of God and that it's an amazing, staggering promise to me that he works all things together for my good, for his glory, as Scripture says. And yet, Nancy, we can make things so much harder than they need to be along the way. Do you know what I'm saying? And his grace is so much there for us. But when we have limiting beliefs about God, when we are our own worst enemy, when we assign motives to God that don't belong to him, we make things so much harder. The reason I say that is I heard people talk about the providence of God. You know, you can kind of do anything you want and he'll work it out. It's just not true because people are watching you. There are consequences to our faith and there are consequences to our unbelief. And there's a price to be paid, even though Jesus paid it all. Do you know what I'm saying? I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, well, we can wallow in fear and anxiety and discouragement, and there are lots of life circumstances where that would be the natural response. But I do think we make it harder on ourselves if we forget or neglect or refuse to lift our eyes up, though they may be filled with tears, and to behold Christ. To look at the character of God, to say, Lord, even though this makes no sense to me at all, I trust. I remember in the moment that I received the news on the weekend of my 21st birthday that my dad had had a heart attack and instantly was gone.
Mm. Wow.
And, of course, I was very close to him. I'm the oldest of 7 children, and there were lots of tears and heartache and sadness and loss. But the first thought consciously that came to my mind in that moment was a verse I had read just days earlier from Psalm 119. You are good, and you do good. Mm. And that just became a resting place for my heart. That's a resting place for our heart in any circumstance. Lord, this isn't what I would have chosen. It's not what I would have scripted. But by faith, I counsel my heart, you are good and you do good. And in the end, I will see what I can only know by faith now.
I'll see the goodness of the Lord. And oftentimes we see it in the land of the living. You know, there's so much that's waiting for us on the other side, but he's so good to give us little glimpses of glory now. And Robert, on the other side of the break, you know, I want you talk, you're a very reputable literary agent, and nobody knows the components of a good story like a good literary agent. And on the other side, I want you to talk about some of the components of a good story, because we don't like the tense moments. We don't like spiritual opposition, but all of these things are necessary in all of our stories, because what would faith be for if we didn't have something to overcome? And friends, we've got 4 copies of Robert and Nancy's book to give away. I would love to get your name in on the drawing. We don't share your information with anybody. The reason we need a hard address is to mail a hard copy book. So you can text or email to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. If you've got questions or comments, please share those as well. I'll try to weave those into the conversation as well. More great conversation with Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth in just a moment. Tuning in to Middays. I'm Suzy Larson, having a fantastic conversation with Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth, who together, they've written lots of books on their own, but they came together as husband and wife, wrote a beautiful book with a gorgeous cover. Here it is, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, Embracing the Mysteries of Providence. There is a mystery to how and why God does things, but we know he's good, as Nancy said before the break, and we know he does good. He's a good, good God. And when we see, when we look back over our shoulder when it's all said and done, well, I think maybe for a moment wish we'd trusted him more. We've got four copies of this book to give away. I'd love to get your name in the drawing. Just text or email. Here's the number for texting. Don't forget the address, 877-933-2484. And then the email is middays@myfaithradio.com. And they write this: not only can you trust God to write your story, you can also be sure that in the end, he will write your story, R-I-G-H-T. He'll make it right. Every sin or injustice committed against you, every sinful or foolish choice you've ever made, everything you feared would permanently mark your life or mar you in some way, one day it will all be made right. Is that not such amazing news? Robert, we said before the break, you're this reputable literary agent. Where would we authors be without you guys? I'm telling you that. But I'd love for you to talk a bit about the components of a good story.
Yeah. Well, you remember when we were kids, William Sidney Porter was a great storyteller. We knew him as O. Henry, and we loved his stories because there was always a surprise ending, always a twist that we didn't see coming. So when you unpack what a story is and what makes a great story, you've got your characters, and there's the protagonist, that's the good guy, and the antagonist, that's the bad guy, and every story has them somewhere, somehow. Then you've got a plot. And you got twists, you've got climax, you've got surprise endings, you have resolution, you have all kinds of pieces. When we were getting ready to write the book, Susie, we sat down, or we had a long conversation with, I won't even give you his name, but a very well-known filmmaker, and we said, okay, what makes a great story? And so the first part of the book helps the reader kind of take an inside look at what makes a great story. And you've heard the illustration of the tapestry. When you turn it over, you see all the threads, the loose stuff, but you turn it around and you see the front, and it's beautiful. So we use that sort of as the foundation for helping us to understand the importance of knowing what a story is and how to make one. And then we say to the reader, but this isn't just about our story. This isn't just about some great famous author's story. You have a story. So what is your story? And Nancy and I have asked people that question all over the place. And you know what? You're not going to be surprised, but nobody doesn't have a story. Mm-hmm. Now, some people think their story is boring. But the truth is, when you lift the story up and you let the light refract off the facets, it's a beautiful thing. Even though you think it's kind of ordinary, when you tell your story, it's a beautiful thing. And more often than not, you see the account of God's faithfulness time after time.
And honey, the thing is too that when we think about our stories, we want something that doesn't have ups and downs. It doesn't have twists and turns.
Right.
It just is all sunshine.
Give me boring.
Yeah. But if we watched movies or read novels that way, that didn't have any ups and downs or twists and turns, we would say, who wants to read that? Who wants to watch that? We love seeing the conflict and the surprises and the unexpected happen. But in our own lives, just keep it sanitized and neat. But God doesn't write those neat, clean, sanitized stories for us, at least when you're going through it, it doesn't seem that way. There are plot twists and turns and surprises, but he knows where he's headed. He knows what the ending is going to be. And he's already written that, and that's where our trust in this not yet is so important. So we've talked with so many people while we were working on this book about, marriages that have not been repaired. People suffering physical, you talked about your Lyme. We talked with people who have chronic physical pain that's not been, Carissa called in about that earlier. It's not been resolved. And so it seems messy. And who would want that story? We want somebody else's story, and we're only seeing the good part of their story. But God says, no, trust me. I'm doing something through this. That if you could see what I'm doing and if you could see where I'm heading, you would say, okay, Lord, that is good. I'm willing to let you write my story even through those hard parts.
Nancy and I have known Johnny Erickson Tada, Susie, for many, many years. In fact, she wrote the foreword to this book, and we tell a bit of her story. But if there's any example of wanting what a person becomes as a result of suffering, but not wanting to go through the suffering to get there, it's Johnny.
Yeah.
You say, when you talk to her on the phone, you hang up and you say, I am so encouraged by this person who's been in a wheelchair for 50 years. Well, that's we want that, but we don't want to have 50 years of quadriplegia to get there. So that's part of the joy of all this. You learn from people, and Nancy's right. We listen to stories, and they're told in this book, including somebody that was about to die. We interviewed John Reford, his precious wife Tammy sitting there next to him, and talked about what it's like to trust God when you're dying. And 3 weeks later, we were at John's funeral. So people gave us, just imagine this, Susie, people gave us this incredible gift of their own stories. Every person we write about is somebody we knew or know personally, friends, close friends. So we didn't do this survey. We didn't collect a bunch of stories from the internet. These are people we know, and so we had the joy of listening carefully to their story. In fact, when we'd hang up or we'd leave their presence after we heard these stories, Nancy and I would say to each other, we've just been given this amazing gift, this intimate encounter with these people who have gone through very difficult things, and now we're stewards of these stories. So it's our prayer that this book tells the story well, tells the story accurately, even though we do leave out the names of many of these people to protect them, but that people down the road, people who read these stories, would be greatly encouraged by the faithfulness of not only our Father, but these people who hung in there and were steadfast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the goals of our show as well, is to help people love their story enough to live as ones who are spoken for, you know, to live up to their high privilege in Christ Jesus. Because any of us, I think, would attribute some of our greatest growth to our deepest suffering.
Exactly.
And who would we be without the things we've suffered? And Jesus wasn't lying to us. He said, you will have trouble,
That's right. You
can be of good cheer. I've overcome. And there is a day coming of no more tears. But right now, we have to contend for some of the things God's promised us. One of our dear listeners says, I have a question for Robert and Nancy. How do you deal with holding intention, the awareness of God writing your story, while the enemy is also involved along with brokenness of the world? I've been reading Job lately, and it seems like he continually attributed all his suffering to God bringing it upon him when God had actually given Satan permission to inflict it. She said, I know it's a big question related to sovereignty, but I also know that he only does good and there's no darkness to be found in him. I'm just wrestling to stand strong in declaring his goodness and unchanging character, regardless of what I see happening in my life. And I'd love for both, if you'd like, to speak to it. But Nancy, what do you say?
Well, she's right about the tension.
Yeah.
And that's why this word in the subtitle, Embracing the Mysteries of Providence. There's so much we don't understand. There's so much we can't see. But here's what we do know. We know there's an enemy. We know this is a broken, fallen, prodigal world. But we know that God is greater than all of that. That Satan was given permission by God to harm Job and to cause loss to him. Reading in Daniel this morning that God said he would give dominion to some of these evil kings in the earth. It wasn't their own dominion. It wasn't their own power. It was given to them by God. And in the end, when it was God's time and in God's way, he says, okay, now let me just finish up the story here. He is always in charge. He never gets off his throne, no matter what we're experiencing, no matter whether it's our sin that caused it, somebody else's sin that caused it, the devil that caused it. God is the only ultimate author of this story for this world, and that's what we have to trust when we can't see how that tension is resolved.
One of the things that Nancy and I, of course, we know all couples do this, but before we go to sleep at night, sometimes we're going to compare. We compare verbs that we picked up that day. So, you know, great yeah. writing comes from great verbs, right? Would you say amen to that, Susie?
Amen, amen.
You're right. Yeah. So the verb in the subtitle is embracing. And I love the picture of a child who's maybe been playing outside, is dirty and whatever, and comes into the house, and her parent, gets down on their knees and embraces them, regardless of whether or not the dirt on the kid would soil the parent, right? So what's the verb to use when we're facing the providence of God? Even when it's tough, we embrace it. And we choose to embrace it. Sometimes we don't feel like embracing it. We would rather resist it or argue with it or fight it or deny it. But the goal of follow as followers of Christ is to embrace his providence, to say, I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't want it. Take this away from me. But I'm going to choose to embrace what you're up to here in my life.
Mm-hmm. You know, I noticed for me, I had a pretty terrible health relapse a few years ago, and I'm about 95% recovered from it. But it was one of the most just devastating. At this age, to have to go around that mountain again was very disappointing to me. But I will tell you, you know, I had choices every day of fear or faith. I mean, they were right in front of me because the symptoms were so scary. And yet there was an option for faith. And I sensed so much from God saying, you really have a choice. I've implanted daily graces for you, and it's up to you to lay hold of them. And I'm sure you both can testify to that as well. And this matters because, again, we can make this way harder than it should be. Life is hard. There are really hard things we deal with. But he does make sure that we have new mercies and daily graces. Robert, speak to that if you would, because that is a promise from God. And if we don't borrow tomorrow's trouble, we will have what we need to get through today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, forgive me for illustrations. I'm a hopeless illustrator.
I love it.
So going to a horse race, you see a jockey who knows exactly what he's doing. And he rides the horse, and it's a seamless experience. When the horse goes down, the jockey goes down. When the horse goes up, the jockey goes up. So if I'm on the horse, the opposite is true. Horse goes down, I go up. Horse goes up, I come down. And it's a bone-jarring experience. So what we do is we learn to live with the seamlessness of God's kindness and providence. And we trust him when things are down to go with it, to not fight it. And that's hard. You know, here we are, Nancy and I are sitting here in a studio with you, and we're chatting about these things. And, you know, we're all dressed to play and look great and feel good. But in the moment, in the difficulty, in the travail of the heartache, the shock, the news, all of that, we don't look like this. We don't feel like this. And so we choose, Nancy said this earlier, we choose to trust. We choose to embrace God's kindness and providence. We choose to believe that he knows the end from the beginning. And that at some point, even maybe not even in this life, Susie, we'll be healed. We'll look back again in this life. We may look back and say, you know what? I know exactly what God was up to. In fact, how many times have you heard believers say, I know this sounds crazy, but if I had it to do over again, I would. I would go through this because of what God has shown me through this difficult situation. And you know, not every story in the book is this hard thing about it. I mean, some of it's very sweet. One of the chapters is you can trust God when you're looking for a mate or you're longing for a mate. And that's a big deal. Nancy, you mentioned earlier, was 56 years old when we started to date, 57 when we were married. She wasn't looking for a mate, but she talks about a woman in that chapter who has looked for a mate, is looking for a mate. But while the book was almost on press, this friend, who was almost as old as Nancy was when she found me, who met this widowed pastor, and in November of this year, she's getting married.
Wow.
So, you know, it's some of the stories in the book are really pretty hope-filled, and we hope that that's a part of it. It isn't just reading hard stories, but it's coming away saying, you know what, God is faithful, he is good, and we can trust him.
We can, and that's what I was talking about. We see his goodness in the land of the living. He's so good to let us see glimpses of glory. What is waiting for us on the other side, we cannot even fathom.
We can't imagine, that's right.
Yes, you know, we need to pause here, but you know, we've got this dear listener listening in outside of our network. She's listening from Dallas, and her name's Monica. Listen to what she says. I've lived with MS for 20 years, lost my husband of 30 years to cancer in 2013, found out last year at age 55 I had a congenital heart defect and needed open-heart surgery. But she says, but God is good, and his grace always sees me through. She said, I even spent a week volunteering at Johnny and Friends family retreat this summer. Mm. What a testimony of God's grace and goodness. Talking to Robert and Nancy Wolgemuth with their book is just beautiful. If you've been encouraged, they write like they speak. And we've got 4 copies of this book. You can trust God to write your story. Love for you to chime in and get in the drawing. Don't forget that we need your mailing address simply because we need a place to mail a book. We hear from a lot of people, and only a few remember that address. 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. let that song play out. There's nothing I desire that can't be found in you. If you've not trusted Christ for salvation, don't wait another day. Today's the day of salvation. Trust him. Get on your knees. Tell him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Fill me with the power of your Spirit. So not only that I can know I get to spend eternity with you, but I can walk every single day in your presence. Really glad to have you listening today. I'm Susie Larson, having a really great conversation with our good friends, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth and Robert Wolgemuth. They wrote this book as Mr. and Mrs. It's not a marriage book, though. It's all about the providence of God. It's titled, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, Embracing the Mysteries of Providence. I'm pitching it a lot because I want you to get a copy. We've got four to give away. You can text or email 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Okay, here's a question for you both. Robert, we'll start with you. Is there a story from, well, obviously there's a story from Scripture, but what story from Scripture is your favorite in the way of providence? When you look at that story, you go, that is sort of my go-to. I love it because it shows how the providential way God works.
Well, we actually tell Bible stories. We call them interludes. So laced between the stories, contemporary stories of people who are facing challenging situations, we weave in, and Nancy and I chose our favorite Bible stories about providence. Esther, Ruth. Ruth is one of Nancy's favorite Bible stories.
Mine too.
She quotes it all the time. Mm-hmm. I love both of the Josephs, that's easy for me to say, the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I think the Old Testament Joseph is my favorite. I mean, it's a man's story, right? So
yeah,
it's all kinds of twists and turns and drama. You know, you've got treason, you've got betrayal, you've got pain and suffering, you've got temptation, all kinds of things. So what we do, actually chapter 10, is Joseph's story, and we tell how, I mean, we read it, again, this is the rearview mirror, right? We see, well, don't worry, Joseph, we know about that pit, we know. And they're going to take you away. I know this looks terrible, but we're looking back, and he wasn't. So I just love it. And, you know, my favorite part of the story, and there's so many favorite parts, but he gets to Egypt, and nobody knows him. Nobody says, oh, no, aren't you Jacob's son? Oh, well, you shouldn't do that because, you know, you're a Jew. You're supposed to be a faithful Hebrew. He chooses to be obedient. He chooses to love God and to be to worship him in spite of his situation. And I love that because in the same situation, I don't know what I would have done. So, and you know, at obviously the end, chapter 49, chapter 50 of Genesis, he says, I know what you guys were up to. You meant to hurt me. God meant it for good.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's, if I had to narrow it down, I hate to do this, like naming your favorite kid. I think if I had to, that would be my favorite Bible story.
Well, I got to tell you, Robert, that Joseph's story and Ruth's story are my two favorites by a long shot. And they often say when you have a go-to, it's sort of a life script. Like there's a lot in the story that you relate to. And before we get to Ruth with Nancy, one of my favorite parts is a little nuanced part of the story for Joseph. But he's in prison, and he runs into the two guys, and he's the candle, what is it, the cupbearer and the other, the baker.
Right.
And in so many words, he says, why the long face? Like, why are you upset?
Exactly.
And I'm thinking, okay, what? What do you mean, why are you upset? Which implies that he had stewarded his perspective to such a degree that he was in a position to encourage others in the midst of his injustice.
Yeah.
I think that shouted volumes at me.
And he wasn't just thinking about himself.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, how about you, Nance?
Well, let's go to Ruth. And it's not just Ruth's story, but it's also Naomi's story, her mother-in-law. And so you have these two women, one of them an immigrant, someone who would not have been received well into Jewish culture at that time. Both of these women lose their husbands. Naomi loses both of her sons. It's just a story of loss. There's famine. There's rejection. There's poverty. It's so many things in their story that, excuse me, were hard and sad. But you see a difference between these two women early on. You see Naomi believing that God has afflicted her and really resenting God. And multiple times she says, God has sent out his hand against me. God has, he's made my life hard. And she sees God as like having turned against her. But Ruth sees God as someone in whom she can trust. She takes shelter under the shadow of his wings. And ultimately, that changes both of their stories. Ultimately, God brings a story that he'd been writing. He had known all along that he was going to bring them good. He was going to bless them. He was going to redeem the losses they had experienced. But here's the part they had no way of knowing that we can see as we look back. This wasn't just about them. This was about us. This was about a story God was writing to send Christ, who was the descendant of Ruth and Boaz, that marriage, that improbable marriage. God was preparing the way to send us a Redeemer. So as we go about our stories, we live our lives in our hard places. It's not just how is God going to fix my problems? How is my life going to turn out? How is this going to end up for me? But Lord, generations from now, how are you wanting to bless others as a result of the story that you're writing in my life?
Our faith matters so much.
Susie, one of my favorite things about this precious lady that I'm married to is that she's drawn to Bible stories, to Bible truth. You know, like when your car's out of alignment and it keeps pulling to the right or to the left, that's Nancy. She did not want to write this book without drawing in truth from Scripture. And saying, but where's the timelessness of these accounts? And so we have these Bible story interludes laced inside the stories of people whom we know and love.
That's amazing. One of the things I love about that story, Nancy, about Ruth is here she's a Moabite. She really is taking a risk to travel with Naomi. She's leaving what she knew, her comfort zone, her known zone, to make a trip that really she was risking her life just to make that trip.
Yeah.
And I often, when I'm speaking on this topic, just say, I know there's no gossipy women in this room, but you know there were a few back in Bethlehem. I mean, right. For them to get back to town, you know that there were women who considered themselves insiders going, okay, here's an outsider. You're not going to marry another one of our men. We never hear about them again. But a woman who followed God and risked everything and had faith, you know, married Boaz, a descendant of Rahab, and these two are grafted into the lineage of Christ. I just don't think we can ever underestimate the preciousness and the power of faith in the midst of our not yets, don't you think?
And how God writes stories that are far grander, far more beautiful, perfect, that we think we'd like to write our own story, but we couldn't write anything that comes close to the one he's writing for us.
You guys write this. Our individual stories are part of a much bigger story. At times, we will experience heartache, loss, disappointment, and unfulfilled longings. But he's weaving all of that into a story that will have us lost in wonder and worship when we get to the end. We literally have just about a minute and a half. And Robert, I wonder if you'd speak to that person who's in the not yet in a very big way. Like they really feel like, I can't live like this much longer. What advice and encouragement would you have for them today?
I would say, be careful how you talk about all this to yourself. Guard your heart and guard your words. You know, all of us are involved in self-talk. Every morning we get up, we say to ourselves, okay, what am I going to put on today? You know, what's my schedule? We talk to ourselves. So, you know, I would say, in fact, David's certainly one of my favorite Bible characters, but the Psalms in many ways are him talking to himself, convincing himself of God's faithfulness. So I would say put good thoughts there, thoughts and words that come from God himself.
Your heart.
That's Nancy's, one of her favorite expressions, counsel your heart according to truth.
And here's a truth that it's been coming to my mind the whole time we've been having this conversation. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We got to keep reminding ourselves of that truth.
Yeah.
Well, you too. I just love you. I just love you. And I thank you. I love your faith. I love your heart for the Lord. And I love how you love each other. I thank you so much for joining me. I pray you'll come back again.
Thank you,
Susie.
Thank you for inviting us this time.
Appreciate all that you do. Robert and Nancy Wogelman with the book. Again, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. The drawing will be open for about another 15 minutes. I want to give a big shout out to my producers, Kim and Carissa, who make every day brighter, every show better. Appreciate you girls so much. And thank you, my dear listener. We couldn't do this journey without you. Wouldn't want to. Keep walking intimately with the Lord. You know what? His will for you, it's your best case scenario. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.